This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, so Parshas Matzos Masseh. Now, this is the longest Parsha in the whole Torah. Double Sedra, each Sedra themselves individually are long Parshas. In the first of the two Parshas, in Parshas Matzos, the Torah begins with a story of Nadarim, of making various oaths. And what the Mefarshim are troubled by is the opening sentence, the opening pasuk, Vayidaber Moshe el Roshei HaMatos Bnei Yisrael Lemer. Why Roshei HaMatos? Why is this being said to the leaders of the various tribes? So says the Ramban, important Ramban. We've quoted this once before, but I want to bring out a different point. The Tam Vayidaber Moshe el Roshei HaMatos. Why does it single out to tell Rosh HaMatos? Says the Ramban in the first box there. If you're listening online, please email me at j.golker@gmail.com and I'll happily send you the handout. There is no need to teach the entire Jewish people that a husband or a father is able under certain circumstances to revoke, to annul the neder that the wife or the daughter made. Perhaps it's better to keep these halachas a little bit lower profile, a little bit quieter. That a person shouldn't behave too flippantly, too easily, too relaxed regarding nadarim. Words are powerful. Words are very important. And if it was well known that you could make a promise and then the husband, the father, or someone could revoke, could undo it, could do haforas nadarim, different types, then people wouldn't be too, people wouldn't be careful enough with their words. And therefore, the Ramban suggests that the reason why the Torah tells us that Moshe said it to the Roshei HaMatos is that it didn't want to sort of spread it too widely to all the population. Sometimes, you hear online, a politician speaking, and he makes very grand promises which are not even in his ability to keep. He's going to end world poverty or the like. The point is that the parsha is teaching us the words are important. Words are very meaningful, and therefore one has to take care with his words. And therefore, we're so concerned about it that the parsha is addressed specifically to the Roshei HaMatos, rather than to the whole population. They tell a story of Rav Shmuel Greinemann. Rav Shmuel Greinemann was a nephew, I think, of the Chazon Ish. And the Chazon Ish had the practice of davening Mincha Gedolah every day. That means lunchtime. And he would daven at 12:30. And one day, the time had come and gone, and they still didn't have a minyan. And finally, a tenth man walked in at 12:45. And Rav Shmuel Greinemann had a bit of a predicament because he had a meeting at 1 o'clock. So he went to the Chazon Ish and said, "What should I do? On one hand, I want to stay. You've got a minyan now. On the other hand, if I stay for Mincha, I'm going to be late for my 1 o'clock appointment." So the Chazon Ish said, "Better we wait and don't have the minyan and wait for another tenth man than you emit some sort of sheker." Anyone who has an adherence to MS would know that it's not a shayla. You quickly go, you make sure you go, and you go to a meeting and you'll be there at 1 o'clock. The Chofetz Chaim, they say that when they printed the original copies of the Mishnah Berurah, printing wasn't as efficient and as of good quality as it is today. And he would check every copy of the Mishnah Berurah before he sold it on to make sure it wasn't a dud, it didn't have missing pages, and the printing was up to scratch. And he would check every single copy. And I think you get copies, you can see copies even today, which, Boduk or whatever he wrote, they've been checked properly. And he got his family to help him. And one time his daughter was asked to help to check one or two sfarim. And she said, she just exclaimed to her father, "Look, Daddy, I'll check 20 svarim, but I want to go play now with my friends. I'll do 20 svarim later." A guzma, an exaggeration. But when she came home from playing, she found a pile of 20 svarim. When you say something, words are meaningful. You've got to mean what you say. And she said, "I'll check 20 svarim." But if she said 20 svarim, you've got to keep 20 svarim. And that perhaps is one of the messages of why it says, El Roshei HaMatos. Let's move on. The next idea is a very interesting one, and that is with regard to the Orei Miklat. The Pasuk says in Perek Lamed Hei, "Ve'ha'orim asher titnu sheish Orei Miklat tihiyena lochem." The cities of refuge, the cities where, Rachman, a person commits a murder, b'shogeg. He then runs off to one of these six cities, and it's home. He won't be able to be pursued by the Goel Hadom, and he'll find refuge in that city. Says the Pasuk, v'eshlesh ha'orim titnu me'eva le'yardein, v'eshlesh ha'orim titnu be'eretz Kanaan. There are six in total, three in Eretz Yisrael, and three in Eva Hayardin. Now, the difficulty is that how many people were living in Eva Hayardin and how many were living in Eretz Yisrael? We know that there were only 2.5 Shvatim in Eva Hayardin outside of Eretz Yisrael, to the east of the River Jordan outside of Eretz Yisrael. Reuven Gad and Chatzi Shevet Manasseh, 2.5 tribes. That means there were 9.5 tribes in Eretz Yisrael proper. So why have you got three Orim Miklot in Eva Hayardin and three in Eretz Yisrael? Isn't that disproportionate? 2.5 tribes need three, and 9.5 tribes needs three. This question is asked by the Gemara in Makkos. If you take a look in the next box in paragraph 2, Makkos Daf Tes on the base, the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, Sholish Orim Hivdel Moshe Eva Hayardin, Uchenegdon Hivdel Yeshua Be'eretz Kanaan, Yeshua designated three Orim Miklot in Eretz Yisrael. Be'eva Hayardin Tlas Be'eretz Yisrael Tlas, asked the Gemara. You need three in Eva Hayardin and three in Eretz Yisrael, but you've only got 2.5 tribes in Eva Hayardin. Says the Gemara, Amar Abaya, Be'gilad Shkichi Reitzchim. In Gilad, there are lots of murderers. And therefore, in Gilad, which is in Eva Hayardin, I need more Orim Miklot. I need three Orim Miklot to service 2.5 Shvatim, because there are more murders that take place there. Fine, well-known Gemara. There is an obvious difficulty with this Gemara. The difficulty is that Ir Miklot is only a refuge for a person who kills B'Shoigeg. The whole story of Ir Miklot is only for Shoigeg and not for Mezid and not for people who kill intentionally. So how does it help when the Gemara says, B'Gilot Shkichi Reitzchim, there are many murderers? That's irrelevant, because Ir Miklot has nothing to do with a murder which is done b'mezid. It's only for a shogeg. So what on earth is the Gemara's answer? So the Rishonim all deal with this question. Let's take a look at the Ramban. It says the Ramban, next box, Begilat Shkichi Reitzchim. Ikashaloch, you're going to have a problem. V'holo golu el shogegin. Only a person who kills the shogeg will go to Golus, will go to the Ir Miklot. So why, how does that answer the Gemara's question? You've got three on the Eva Hayardin. Says the Ramban, Ikalamema. Ramoin hoyu, they were deceitful. Umarin atzmon kashaykin. This is an amazing answer. They were actually murderers. As the Gemara says, begilat shchichi reitzchim. There were many murderers. But they pretended to kill b'shoigin. They sort of loosened the axe head on as they went to chop wood. So that when they were chop wood, whoops, the axe head falls off. But it was premeditated. It was mazed. But they made out as if it was shogeg, and therefore the penalty for this person would be to go to Golus. That's the Ramban's answer. Tosfos gives another well-known answer. It says Tosfos Pirush Lahachi Husruch Ulari Miklot Lefishe Kasheharim Mezid Belo Edim Hakadosh Baruch Hu Mezamnan Lepunduk Echot Kedamin Lekamon. Famous answer, famous Gemara. Gemara on the next daf, Daf Yudam Bei, says the following: Hakadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. And he knows that a person who killed the Mezid, but there weren't any Edim, so he can't kill him. Or a person killed the Shogeg, and for some reason he didn't end up in Golus. So how's HaKadosh Baruch Hu going to deal with that? Says the Gemara, this is what he could do. Mezamnan Lepunduk. He would invite both this Mezid, the person who killed intentionally, and the Shogeg, the person who was careless and killed in his Chayav Golus. He would make sure, he would orchestrate it, that they would stay in the same hotel, the same inn. And for whatever reason, the person who killed B'Shogeg was climbing up a ladder, was left walking up the staircase, and he would trip. HaKadosh Baruch Hu would work it out that this fellow would trip. And he would fall down the stairs, and he would fall onto the person, fall off the ladder and fall onto the pillow sitting beneath him, onto the person who was mazed and killed. And he himself, this mazed person, the murderer sitting at the bottom of the ladder, would be killed. So he would get his rights, his correct punishment. The person who fell, B'Shogeg, he wasn't careful enough as he went up the stairs, went up the ladder, he now killed B'Derech Yerida in a downward action, which is the requirement, and therefore he would be Chayav Golus. Therefore, says Tosfos, to answer our question, as explained by the Mefarshim there, that when the Gemara says "Begilah shkichi roitzchim," there are many more murderers. Yeah, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to orchestrate all of these situations where people who killed the mazid and b'shogeg will get together somehow. The person who killed the mazid would be sitting at the bottom of the ladder. The person who killed b'shogeg would fall on him and would kill him, and therefore the person who fell would be chayav golus, etc., etc. And therefore, because of all of these and the need to administer retribution, therefore the answer of the Gemara stands true. But Gilad Shkichi Reitzchim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu has got his means, his ways and means of dealing with it. That's how Tosfos deals with the problem. The Gur Aryeh, the Maharal, gives a third answer, and again a fascinating answer. And I think this perhaps has most bearing on our contemporary lives. Take a look at the Gur Aryeh, the bottom box of the page. I'm jumping into the third line halfway through. When you find that murder rates are up in a certain community, a certain society, then by definition, by necessity, there's going to be more shogegim, more murders which were done by shogegim. If there is a place which is full of murderers, and every time you open a newspaper, there's another murder, there's a problem here, there's a person who was killed, then life becomes cheap. And it has an impact on the environment. It has an impact on the whole community. And people will sort of be less careful about avoiding death, injury. They won't think, you know, they won't be as careful as they should be. Have I checked my brakes recently? Has my car been to the MOT? Have I screwed on the axe head onto the top of the wood, onto the handle properly? If you're living in a country where murder and where death and where life is of lower value, then more things will happen b'shogeg. And therefore,
Rabbi Golka,
the environment will have that impact. Yes, please ask a question.
Yeah, just to say that's why there's so many stabbings in London this year. So many stabbings, the same thing.
Maybe it has an impact. That when life is cheap and the crime rates soar, then even that has an impact, even b'shogeg. And therefore, that's the answer of the Gemara. But Gilad Shkichi Reitzchim, in Gilad there are more murderers. So what's that going to do with shogeg? What's that going to do with Ir Miklat? The terrace is that if there are more mazid murders, there are more intentional murders, then life is cheap and people will just be a bit more flippant about things, and that will increase shogegim, and therefore you need more Ir Miklat. That has the environment we live in has an impact on us. You know, I always think of the example when many years ago, my wife and I, we had a cleaner who was from Poland, a Polish cleaner. And I can't remember how it happened. One time, maybe she was helping unpack the shopping or something. And she saw our Shabbos delivery. And, you know, we're Baruch Hashem, we like our schmaltz herring. So she was unpacking some schmaltz herring, putting it in the fridge. And she suddenly got so excited. She saw schmaltz herring. She said, I didn't know you could get this here in London. Where'd you get it from? So we told her, we go to K's, you know, wherever we got it from. So she said, can you get me a packet next week? Can you get me some schmaltz herring next week? Now, why does she like schmaltz herring? Because she's Polish. Where does schmaltz herring come from? It came from Eastern Europe. Moshe Rabbeinu, David HaMelech, I don't think, ate schmaltz herring. We lived in Poland for 950 years. So Polish cuisine rubbed off on us. So Shabbos morning, Yidden around the world eating schmaltz herring. That's the impact of the environment in which you live. Okay, let's press on. There's one more. There's a makara you cannot not say when you're talking about the impact of the environment on you, and that is a very famous Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchos Deos in the beginning of Perek Vav says this. It's kedai. It's a few lines, but it's kedai to do this Rambam because it's very well known. But it's an important Rambam. It's the top of page 2. Derech Briaso Shel Adam. Says the Rambam famously, the way of a person is, it's our nature, we are automatically affected by our friends and by our neighborhoods. The and we behave like the people we live with. So if we're British, we behave like British people, whatever that may be. Therefore, it's important, says the Rambam, to attach yourself to tzaddikim, and to live with wise people, tomit, Kadesh Yilmud Ma'asehem. For Yisrachik Min Arshaim, a person should distance himself from Rashaim Ha'ochim Becheshech, who walk in the darkness. Kadesh Yilmud Ma'asehem. For Chain Imhoiba Medina, Shemin Hagaseh Arayim. If you're living in a country whose ways are evil, Ve'in Anosheh Ha'ochim Bederech Yisharim, people don't live in a correct way. Yelech Lamokim Shansheh Sadikim, move, go to a place where there are Sadikim. Says the Rambam, 800 plus years ago, saying that if you live in a place where there is no great person, there are no righteous people, and the effect of the environment is very negative, says the Rambam, like in my time, says the Rambam, etc., etc., then you know what you should do? Live alone. Says the Rambam, go live in a cave. Go to the Midbar. The effect, the impact of the environment, the community on a person is so great that a person has got to be very careful where he lives, who he associates himself with, because the impact is sort of by osmosis, is automatic. That explains the Maharal, that kasha on the Gemara there in Makkos. Okay, so just to summarize that this particular point, that the kasha was the Gemara in Makkos. How come you've got three Ari Miklot for Eva Yadin and three Feret Yisrael? The answer is, says the Gemara in Makkos, but Gilash Kichiraitim, Eva Yadin, you've got more murderers. Ask all the Rishonim, but Ari Miklot is Beshogeg. So the fact there are more murderers should have no bearing. Three answers. We saw the Ramban's answer is that they were so deceitful, they would pretend they were killing Beshogeg when in fact they were killing Benezid. You've got Tosus's answer, the famous Gemara Mezamnin Lepunduk, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would orchestrate it. He would retribute against the Mezid and the Shogeg by orchestrating this particular event, where the person who killed the Mezid would be sitting at the foot of the ladder, the person who killed Beshogeg would be fall down, and therefore if the person who killed the Mezid would be killed, and the person who killed Beshogeg now goes to Golus because he's killed with witnesses, but Derech Yerida, etc. And then you've got the Maharal's answer. The Maharal, who's quoting by the Maharal, says it's the power of the environment. The power of the environment on the person, even the person, because there are more murderers, that will rub off and have an effect on even people who are shogeg. They'll be just more lackadaisical about how they behave. Okay, now let's press on. The only time I don't think to get through all of this, but let's pick out some of the key points. The Parashas Masse lists, as its name suggests, all the various journeys of the Jewish people. Eile Masse b'nei Yisrael, Asher Yotzu Meretz Mitzrayim, L'tzivosom b'yad Moshe v'Aaron. These are the journeys of Klal Yisrael when they went from Mitzrayim to eventually Eretz Canaan. Now, it's again the age-old question, why are we listing all 42 locations? This takes up a lot of pesukim, a lot of words in the Torah. Why is it necessary to specify all 42 locations? So there are several answers. Many Mefarshim deal with this. Let's perhaps just look at one or two. How much time? We'll see how much time we have. The first answer is that of Rashi. Yeah, the Av HaMefarshim, the famous commentary on Chumash, says Rashi, Lama nichtov amasa sanonu. Why were these journeys written? Lohidia chasado shemakam. To teach us the kindness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. She'af al-pi she'gozar aleihem l'taltla l'aniyim b'midbar, even though there was a gezeirah on Klal Yisrael, for 40 years they were wandering about. Don't think that they were literally on the go for all 40 years, literally every day they were moving and moving and moving. For lohos aleihem menucha, they had no rest. Not true. Shari ein kan ela aboim v'shtayim asos, because in total, there were only 42 journeys, 42 times which they moved. Seimehem Yudalet, take away 14 from the 42, Shekulim Hoye B'Shana Rishena, which all happened in the first year. Kedim Gezerah, before there was a Gezerah, they were going to be in Midbar for 40 years. Mishem Nosim Ramses Hashagol Rismo, Shemishtam Nishtachom Ragnim. Fine. V'oid, and furthermore, Hoitze Nisham Shmoyne Masor Shehoi La'acham Issarin, deduct 8 journeys that took place after the death of Aaron, in Har Har Adar V'Smael, in the 40th year. So it comes out, Nimtza, Shekol Shmoyne Oshleishim Shana, that for 38 years, Leinosu Ela Eshim Asois, they only actually journeyed 20 masoras. You take away 14 and 8, which is 22. Out of 42, you're left with 20. So in 38 years, they only journeyed 20 times. Says Rashi, that is to show the chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he wasn't making them run around, that we might perhaps think otherwise. And moreover, Rashi gives a second shot in the name of the Medrash Tanchuma. He gives a moshel. So I haven't got it on the sheet, but Rashi says, moshel the melech, whose son, a king, was ill, for he licha lemakom roch, and he took him to a faraway place, the refoisa to cure him. Kim and shayu chayzrim, when they came back, his chil aviv moine, his father began to count kol hamasois, all the journeys. Omar Rei says, kan yashanu, this is where we slept. Kan hukarnu, this is where we felt cold. Kan choshash des roshcha, here you had a headache. And the idea is that God recounts for Klal Yisrael the events of the 40 years in the Midbar to remind them of his love for them, that like a father would love a son. Do you remember we did that? Do you remember we did that? So the idea of the 42 Masos according to Rashi is a demonstration of the chesed and the love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Klal Yisrael. The Ramban gives... I think we'll leave the Ramban because I don't think there'll be time to go through it all. It means Hashem should give us kech. We'll come back another year and we'll look at the Ramban. Let's take a look at another answer I saw. I saw another answer, it's shorter, in the name of the Lubavitcher Rebbe. The Lubavitcher Rebbe says something very interesting. Each of the 42 journeys from Eretz Mitzrayim was not just a geographical, physical journey, but it's from the Lashon of Meitzorin, which means, Min HaMeitzar is from the constraints. We're now in the middle of Bein HaMetzorim. Bein HaMetzorim, we're in the constraints, that's this three-week period where there are limitations and constraints and the difficulties, etc. And the idea is, says the Rebbe, that it's reminding us of the need for constant growth and no limitations on our journey in life. Because after all, this is a marshal that the journey from Mitzrayim, Teretz Yisrael, is really a marshal of the journey of life and the need for constantly moving and no limitations in our journey in life. It's interesting. I received a present some months ago, and it's a biography of the Lubavitcher Rebbe. I'm just realizing now that it's appropriate to say that it's a very interesting biography. It's written by someone called Joseph Lubashkin. I think his name is Lubashkin. And it's fascinating, absolutely fascinating. But he says just a very interesting anecdote, and I think I'm getting it right, that he says that Lubavitch Hasidim, Chabad Hasidim, they have a certain courage, a certain forthrightness, a certain brazenness, confidence, that they're able to go, if you think about it, they're able to go 15 years old and ask a person on the street, have you put on tefillin yet today? And if you do that repeatedly, I guess it thickens your skin and it gives you a certain confidence. So he tells a wonderful anecdote. I think it was Senator Joe Lieberman. That Lieberman, when he was, I think he was close to being the vice president, and he would have to travel. And of course, his whole, the security was paramount importance. And he would travel to various locations throughout America. And it was always top secret where he was staying. And his security retinue never, ever disclosed which hotel he was staying in. So for example, if he would go to Chicago, I'm sure there are many very, very fancy hotels, but they would never disclose where exactly he was staying for security reasons. And he said that without fail, when he would arrive at this particular hotel he was staying at, there was always a parcel for him ready from the local Chabad Shliach with some kosher food ready, welcoming him to their city. How did they know about it? When it was top secret, no one knew. The answer is that Chabad Chosid has been primed and trained from a young age to sort of have that confidence to find out. How? Who knows? Wonderful anecdote. But that's what the Bavitcher Rebbe says. The 42 journeys from Mitzrayim, not just geographical, but it's Meitzorim, not just Mitzrayim, but Meitzorim. That limitations and constraints, that the need for constant growth and constant journeying and without limitations, with just with this sort of an expansive sort of approach. A final idea, why is it necessary to list all 42 journeys? And that is Reb Nissen Alpert. Reb Nissen Alpert gives a couple of explanations. I'll just mention one of them. One is Rav Nissen Alpert was, of course, one of the key Talmidim of Rav Moshe Feinstein. He died very close in time to Rav Moshe in the mid-1980s. And he gives the following answer. Not all locations along the 42 stops were positive. Mara, Paran, Pa'ur, tragic things happened in some of these locations. The Torah is telling us, don't rewrite history. Don't try and sort of wash over it and say that everything was wonderful, everything was good. When you look back on the journey, the 42-stage journey from Mitzrayim to Eretz Yisrael, we must realize that, you know, there were bumps on the way. And ultimately, life is a journey, and there are bumps on the way. But those bumps are really what make us. We are a sum of all our experiences, and those experiences, some of them are positive, and some of them are less positive. But to erase the less positive experiences is not really, is not the right thing to do. Because who we are is not just the smooth parts of the journey, but the bumps as well. And therefore, says Rav Nissen Alpert, that not all locations were positive, but we have to list them, not to rewrite history, and to remember that the bumps on the journey are also very much part of the story. So there we have it. Three ideas to talk about. Number one, why is it that Moshe Rabbeinu is telling Roshei HaMatos the whole story regarding the Nedarim? And the idea is that there is a danger of telling the sort of wider parts of Klal Yisrael, because they may treat words and promises a bit more flippantly. And therefore, it's better, as the Ramban says, Ulai tzorich lahalim elachukim. Sometimes you've got to keep these halachas a little bit quieter. Don't publicize them too much, because people might think, hey, there's a get out here. I can be made for the neda. I can be matir the neda. I don't have to be too careful with my words. That's the last thing we want. Then we discussed this, the famous kashan of Morin Makas, that Tesla base. How come? If there were three Ari Miklot in Eva Hayaradim, three in Eretz Yisrael, how come we needed, if there were 2.5 tribes in Eva Hayaradim and 9.5 in Eretz Yisrael, why do we need three Ari Miklot on each side? It's disproportionate. The Gemara answers the Gilad Shkichiroitzin, and therefore there are many more murderers in Eva Hayaradim, we need more Ari Miklot. The famous Kasha, but Ari Miklot are only for Shege. And the three answers we saw, as we discussed, the Ramban, Tosfos, and the Maharal. That the Maharal talks about the impact of our environments upon us, and that famous Rambam. And lastly, why is it necessary to specify all 42 stations, 42 locations on our journey from Eretz Mitzrayim to Eretz Canaan? And various answers. We saw Rashi that it's a demonstration of the kindness and the love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu for us. We saw that interesting idea of the Lubavitcher Rebbe, that it's not just a physical journey, a geographical journey, but rather it's Mitzrayim, it's a spiritual journey, reminding us that the need of constant growth and no limitations on our journey in life. And then lastly, the idea of Nissen Alpert, that it's important not to rewrite history, that not all 42 journeys were positive, but yet life is made up of not just the smooth parts, but also the bumps on the road as well. Thank you for listening. I wish you all a very good Shabbos. Kol Tov.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.